Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a victorious postgame show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf, and Adam Kaplan. The Eagles taking down the Giants 36-21, moving to 2-3 on the season, and a chance to be in a tie for first place at the end of the day if the Denver Broncos can go down to Dallas and take out the Cowboys. But Adam, a big day here for the Eagles as Nick Foles steps in for Michael Vick, who had a bit of a hamstring injury. We will hear the full extent of that in a little bit. You will see Chip Kelly's press conference live right here on the postgame show. But Foles steps in on the last drive of the second quarter and ends up going 16 of 25 for 197 yards, a quarterback rating of 114.9. And this game turned in the fourth quarter, the Eagles up 22-21, and Michael Kendricks intercepts Eli Manning on the very next play. Nick Foles throws a touchdown on a beautiful diving catch by Brent Celek. The next drive for the Giants, the Eagles pick off Eli Manning again, a beautiful diving interception from Brandon Boykin, and then a touchdown to DeSean Jackson from Nick Foles, converting in the red zone, something we needed to see from this Eagles offense. The Eagles would then pick off Eli Manning one more time. So three interceptions of Manning in the fourth quarter. And what has Chip Kelly talked about? One of the stats he does really care about, points off turnovers. The Eagles dominated there today, and we saw that this offense can work with Nick Foles under center.
It can. In fact, he sped things up a little bit. I found it interesting that early in the second half, they didn't run the ball, which is what I thought they would do with the lead. They threw the ball. They came out throwing it, and they did most of the most of the second half. And Foles was terrific. And the thing that I liked is when he got pressure, he stepped up. You got to step up and climb the pocket. He did a great job of that today. And that's something he's always done well. And you see here, the throw on the run, then also the throw to Celek. Just what a great effort. Great throw by Foles, and Celek dove for it. And a great catch by by Celek, who's had trouble every now and then catching the football. It's one of Celek's best catches of his career. Just a tremendous effort by him.
Now, there are obviously differences in the way this offense runs from when Michael Vick is under center and when Nick Foles is under center. Obviously, when Vick is under center, you have the running threat at quarterback. He had 79 yards running in the first half. That was the bulk of the Eagles' offense. Nick Foles doesn't have quite the rocket arm that Michael Vick does. But the one thing he does do that Michael Vick may not do is throw with anticipation. And we saw a couple big plays for this Eagles offense in the passing game because Foles was throwing before the receiver was quite open.
It's a great point by you, Bo. And one thing that Andy Reid told me that at some point with Pat Shurmur here, and he didn't mention Nick Foles, he said they have the ability to go more of a dropback system. And so with Foles, they do some read option, not a lot of it. And they do play the hurry up. They get the tempo up, but they do the drop back game with Foles, and you saw it today. Foles looked very, very solid, not many mistakes at all. And you saw DeSean Jackson catch that pass in the red zone, which was huge. They've run that play before. I know they practiced it a lot, and they got it done today. And you got to feel good, though, about the turnovers. How about Eli Manning? Three picks in the fourth quarter. Just a turnover machine. They got some sacks today. They got some pressure on them, but the big thing is the turnovers. Eli Manning making big mistakes in the fourth quarter, which has been his problem this season. There's no question about that.
The Eagles, as you said, did go away from the run a little bit in the second half when Foles was under center. LeSean McCoy only had 20. He had 20 carries, but for only 46 yards, though he did have 46 yards in the air receiving as well. This was also the return of DeSean Jackson as a big factor offensively. 7 catches for 132 yards and the touchdown that you saw earlier. Why do you think it was that the Eagles went away a bit from the running game under Foles?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You saw what happened late in the first half. Okay, they decided they're going to try to still get a field goal, and that was smart by the coaches. It worked out. But this is something that we've seen. You know, sometimes they weren't running the hurry up with Vick in the offseason and during practice we saw, and only doing with Foles. Now Vick runs the hurry up. He runs the up-tempo, but they're running a lot more than they're throwing. It's what they think each guy could handle, and it's a very interesting kind of game plan for each quarterback. I mean, they go with what the guy can handle well, and it's kind of fascinating that they're letting Foles throw the ball as much. Now, the other thing is they're getting contributions from other players today. Celek with a great catch. Ertz had the great catch in the first half, tremendous catch. In fact, in another one where he drew the penalty. And you saw Jackson reemerge in the offense today, which was something they needed to do because, quite frankly, that was lost the past 2 weeks.
Defensively, another big story here for the Eagles. One of the biggest problems this team has had defensively over the last 2-3 seasons is not just giving up big plays. It's not just problems with tackling. It's been the inability to force turnovers. They got the 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter. And listen, in the beginning of the second half, the Giants were able to drive right down the field. It looked like the defense was collapsing a little bit. They bounced back. They stepped up big in the fourth quarter. They got the three interceptions. What did you think of the defensive performance today, keeping after Eli Manning?
I thought it was resilience. That's really the battle cry here for the defense today, Bo. I don't think there's any question about it today. They had a struggle early on. They were giving up to two plays downfield. One got lucky on the next one. They hit him on the next play. But they destroyed the Giants running game. Giants running game, absolutely no factor. Brandon Jacobs had the unforced error. He had the bad fumble. That's four turnovers. You take three picks. And big plays in the second half, just huge. They got the confidence going. David Wilson left the game in the first half, did not return with his neck injury. And once you become one-dimensional, at some point, Bo, you got to think the defense is going to respond. Making the Giants one-dimensional in the second half, middle of the third quarter, it started to work working out. You saw the confidence that the defense played with. You got a lot of that going today. You got to talk about that, Bo, in the second half. The defense, once they got it going, they weren't giving up the plays. You saw Kerry Williams get some confidence. Bradley Fletcher got a lot of confidence in the second half. Thought he did a good job. And how about Nate Allen coming in, doing a really nice job.
Brandon Jacobs had 11 carries for 37 yards. As you mentioned, Wilson did leave the game with a neck injury and did not return. And strictly as an Eagles fan watching this game, the enjoyment of seeing the Giants go 0-5, their season dead and buried, and then the cherry on top, the beautiful DeSean Jackson salsa dance after the touchdown.
I think you did one.
I did. I was DeSean started it for Eagles fans around the country doing salsa dances in their own living room or bar, wherever they were watching. That was beautiful to watch. I love seeing that.
I'll tell you what, that was a beautiful play. There's no question about it. You got to give Nick Foles credit. It is not easy to come off the bench cold as he did late in the second quarter. That was a tremendous drive by Foles, and he did a tremendous job.
All right, so again, we will bring you Chip Kelly's press conference live in a few minutes here. We also expect to hear from Nick Foles and plenty of the other victorious players in the Eagles locker room. Also, later on, A.J. Feely joins us, and we'll take your phone calls. And, Adam, this is a big day. And as we said again, 2-3 may not sound so great, but there's a good chance at the end of the day the Eagles are tied for the division lead, and the schedule stays pretty manageable here throughout the next few weeks.
Bo, they don't play a team with a winning record. I mean, it's incredible until December 8th. When the Lions come, the Lions lost today, it's...
Well, now the Packers have a winning record, so that is a little bit.
Well, they're 2-2. That's not technically winning, but they're off a bye. But the fact of the matter is that the schedule is about as good as it gets for the Eagles. Can they take advantage of it? Hey, listen, that's a division win they had today on the road. And we'll see if this momentum could carry. Now, if Foles has to play next week at Tampa, that was the site of one of the most amazing performances we've seen in a long time by a quarterback, by Foles. It was sort of his coming out party, so we'll see what happens.
Of course, his only win last season came in that last-second victory on the last-second touchdown pass to Jeremy Maclin in Tampa Bay. What do you think it means for this offense if Foles is the starter for a couple games? Now, listen, we don't know what is going to be the prognosis here with Michael Vick. It looked like a bit of a hamstring pull. You don't know if that's going to
strain.
Keep him out.
Yeah, we don't know
strain.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if Foles is the guy, he at least proved today that he can move this offense.
Well, we know he can, because you and I were at OTAs, we were at training camp. Foles was very, very successful. So to feel that he can handle this. I think there's no question in my mind that Foles could handle this offense. And you ask a great question. How would this offense differ with Foles behind center from the start, not coming in, you know, at like halftime or something like that? I don't know if they'll run as much. I'll be honest with you. I think Foles really handled the offense very well today. And he stepped up. Remember, he really climbed that pocket well and avoided a couple sacks. And how many times have we said this about Nick Foles? He throws really well on the run. Not something that you thought of with him earlier in his career, but he's done a nice job of that.
I would also like to commend the defense today on their performance on third downs. The Giants 5-for-13 on third downs. They had been the league's worst third down offense coming in. But still, for the Eagles defense to step up after a rough few weeks, I think speaks a lot to the stick-to-itiveness of the guys on defense here as they continue to fight through and learn this new Billy Davis scheme.
In fact, the biggest factor to me was controlling Victor Cruz, and they did a great job at it. Okay, so Nix was the guy that beat them. That's fine. Cruz is their big play guy downfield, and he just did not do it. You notice the double coverage. They were not going to let Cruz beat them. And I'd have to say, if you looked at Cruz and the camera shots, he looked very frustrated today.
And how about the Eagles special teams after two straight disappointing weeks? Alex Henry had missed a field goal in three straight games. He was 5-for-5 on field goals today. And look, that's 15 points. That's the difference in the score. And also on special teams, the Eagles down two punts within the five-yard line. The Giants were unable to do so in the first half. The Eagles clearly won on special teams today. A very nice bounce back from Dave Phipps' group.
Yeah, and Donnie Jones has been tremendous. He's not been the problem with the coverage. It's just a matter of being consistent. And the placement by Jones today inside the 10, just great. And the coverage downfield, that's another part of it. The kind of like the secret part of coverage is getting down there and actually getting there before the opponent could down it. So that he did a those guys did a great job today.
All right, got to cut you off. Yep. We got Chip Kelly at the podium.
Put Mike Vick back in. What factored into that?
Mike's got a hamstring. They just felt he wasn't 100%. So I said since, really, I think the day we walked in here that you got to have two quarterbacks. And so felt confident in Nick, with Mike not being 100%. So if Nick were to go down, I think we would have been able to put Mike back in the game, though. So.
Why'd you put him in for the one play after the injury?
He didn't look like he was moving well, and I'm not going to put anybody in harm's way. So, I just felt like he didn't have that step where he can get out of the way. You got a pass rush like they have. You got some really good players over there with Tuck and Kiwanuka and JPP. I don't think you want a guy out there that's not 100%.
So that was your decision to take it?
Yeah, that was my decision.
Had he convinced you that he was all right to go?
We didn't really have any talks about that. I just talked to our trainers and those guys, and they said it was just a hamstring. They thought he was going to be okay. So.
Plan when you brought Nick in?
No, we didn't.
Read option or anything like that? Because it looked like Mike was really running the read option very well in the first half.
Now, a couple of those long runs Mike had were actually designed sweep plays, so it wasn't read option, but we didn't change our game plan in terms of putting Nick in the game. So,
what do you think the job Nick did?
I thought Nick did a nice job. He came in, especially, I thought that drive right at the end of the first half where we had an opportunity to go down and get a field goal, being in a two-minute situation, really managed the game real well, and I was really happy with Nick.
Chip, it looked like over the weeks here to stay sharp, practice time, classroom time.
The same, he's a student of the game. He prepares himself like he is a starter because he's literally a chin strap away from being a starter. And I think that's a credit to him. Some guys can get discouraged, but he wasn't like that when I sat down with him and Mike and we told him what was going on in camp. He just said, hey, coach, you can always count on me. I'm going to be there. And that's what he's done. He's been there every day in practice. I think Billy Lazor does a really good job with those guys, and making sure that they're sharp and getting them enough reps. And in this league, I think you need two quarterbacks, and we were fortunate that we had Nick today. So
can you go into the week, into the next week, with not knowing exactly who's going to be the quarterback for Sunday in terms of?
Our game plan doesn't drastically change, Jeff. So, we'll see how that goes, but that's not a huge concern for me. So.
You said Mike could have gotten back in if Nick got hurt. So, can we just assume that he should be able to practice Tuesday?
You can assume whatever you want to assume.
I don't assume that. If you expect that he should be.
I don't get into that. I've always been like that. So I'll find out when I show up, when they all get here Tuesday. If they tell me he's practicing, then he practices. If he doesn't practice, but I'm not the trainer, so I don't tell those guys, hey, we need him by this. And just tell me if he can go or if he can't go. So
if Mike's healthy, is he your guy?
What's that?
If Mike is healthy, is
yes.
Your game plan might not have changed, but it sure looked like your offense did. Did they not have to respect the run as much with Mike out of there? It looked like you couldn't get anything going with Deshaun.
I don't know. That's a good question. You can ask them. I don't know what they were respecting or not respecting. So.
Why did you throw like so many passes? Were working?
No. They literally deployed the same game plan and deployed their defense really the same way they did in the first half. Played a lot of man-free coverage and, six guys in the box. That didn't change, from that standpoint. But, not having a running threat doesn't mean that we're not blocking the three technique well. I think sometimes they did some line stunts and some penetration things in there that stopped some of our drives in the second half. But I don't think it was because of Nick or Mike.
Sean back in the offense. Can you talk about the importance of having him get down the field?
Yeah, if you're going to play man coverage, we need to have guys that can exploit it. I thought some of those guys did a real good job. We hit Brent on a big crossing route early, freed up Brent on the play action pass, and then obviously Deshaun is, if you're going to put him in those situations, he drew a pass interference penalty on our sideline, which was big, and then trying to get him uncovered in a couple different manners is he's a threat, no matter where he is. And if you're going to play man coverage, then it's just going to happen a little bit quicker. And I thought he did a really good job of, you know, giving himself an opportunity to make plays. We had some good run after the catch from him, and then we also had those, you know, that big touchdown at the end off a double move. So,
Chip, let's talk a little bit about what you got from Alex Henry today.
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of confidence in Alex. I think he was it 5 for 5? Is that if I did my math right? So, you know, he's been really, really consistent. You know, I think myself and him were probably the most surprised with those three misses that we had this year. But, you know, we looked at him and studied him, and him and Coach Phipp went back to work a little bit and really confident. You know, I don't want to get threes, but we don't want to get threes. We'd rather get sevens. But if you got a guy who's consistent like that and can go 5 for 5 and put those points on the board, it's really a difference in a ball game. So.
Chip, it looked like Nick made a couple of completed passes where he threw the ball quickly against man, maybe even before the receiver was open, and kind of timed anticipation throws. Has those been his strength? Did you see that a lot in training camp? Did you feel like
No, I just think Nick's got a good grasp and has a good understanding of what we're doing.
How much do you think Nick can do to win that job? Or can Foles win this job at any time this season?
Yeah, I mean, we're always going to compete and play and make sure that the best guys are on the field. So,
do you feel like the defense did, especially in the second half?
I thought they did a great job of getting the ball back for us. You know, we had those three big turnovers. You know, and I think when you play against those two receivers and obviously Eli, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback, that's the strength of their team right now. They're banged up a little bit up front, and you know, David Wilson wasn't in there, so you know, we kind of knew they were going to throw, and that was a matchup that we really had to make sure that we concentrated on. And I thought our guys, eventually we started to get to Eli a little bit, started to generate a pass rush, and those three turnovers were huge. And the difference in the ball game was the turnovers. You know, we didn't turn it over, and they did. So,
the message to the guys after.
In settling for those 5 field goals, what were the issues on those 3rd downs?
I don't know. Specifically, I'd have to go through each one. So,
what did you say to the team after the locker?
After the game?
Yeah.
That they had a good week of preparation, and we need to have another one because we've got another game coming up. Every week is a season, you know, and that's what this deal's all about. You know, you're 5 games into a 16-game season, and understand that you just don't show up and win. You when you have a good week of preparation, then that pays off for you. And I think we liked our week of preparation. So, you know, we got to be able to replicate that because, you know, you get about 2 seconds to catch your breath in this league and go back and get ready to play again. So,
in 3 out of 5 games now, even if it was just a play or two or for longer, Michael's had to come out of the game. Is the reason you have to keep Nick as ready as you are that you sense a certain inevitability to Michael not being able to bounce back from one of these?
No, I mean, I think no matter where you are in this league, you better make sure you have 2 quarterbacks. That's just the nature of this league. So, you know, we're fortunate that we do. So,
let's take 2 more guys.
Do you think the league needs to do more to protect their quarterback?
No, I don't. I mean, he had a hamstring today, so he was running out of bounds. It wasn't a hit. So, I don't think anything in terms of what happened specifically to Mike today had anything to do with, you know, someone hitting him late or, you know, I think the league has done a really good job of implementing rules to protect quarterbacks, and that was certainly not the issue today. There were no late hits. There was nothing from that standpoint with that. It was just a soft tissue injury, and we'll see where he is when we get back to work on Tuesday.
Would you say that after Nick's performance today, that their job is more up for grabs?
No.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Anyone else there?
All right, so there you have it. Chip Kelly says that Michael Vick has a hamstring injury. We don't know the full extent. We'll hear a little bit earlier, and he did say that when Michael Vick is healthy, he is the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we didn't expect today's performance from Nick Foles to turn that around, but Foles did do a great job today leading the Eagles to victory. Later on here on the post-game show presented by Rico, A.J. Feely will join me in the desk, and we will take your phone calls, 215-320-5170. Also coming up in a little bit, the live press conferences of both Foles and DeSean Jackson right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back.
and we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more! Come on, let's go, yo! Woo!
Help!
One more! One more, let's get it, let's go!
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship! Let's go!
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan back on the postgame show presented by Rico following the Eagles' 36-21 win over the New York Giants. The 0-5 New York Giants. Adam, that sounds very nice to say and very nice to hear from my ears. And the Eagles 2-3, hoping that the Denver Broncos can take out the Dallas Cowboys this afternoon, though the Cowboys do have an early 7-0 lead. I'll mention that, Adam. But what do you think about LeSean McCoy today? 20 carries for only 46 yards. It seems like the Eagles went away from the running game when Nick Foles was in the game. Perhaps the Giants weren't quite respecting the run a little bit. They were forcing Foles to keep the ball in his hands. Still, the Eagles were able to have a productive offense despite the relative unimportance of their best player on offense.
Yeah, and Bo, I think in the first half you saw the running game really, really struggle a little bit. I don't know what the problem was, but it seemed like the Giants did a great job of understanding what to do. They stopped the middle, those runs where Foles will be offset and he runs in the middle, they stopped all of those. The runs that worked were when Vic did it and he had the big 30-yard plus run. That was a great, it's an electrifying run by Vic. That was an amazing run at a time when they really needed it. But the running game clearly did not work today. And I don't blame the coaches for going with the passing game with Foles in the second half because it worked.
From LeSean to Deshaun, Deshaun Jackson, after a big first two games, a little bit more quiet in the third and fourth game. He busted out again today, 7 catches for 132 yards, the nice touchdown, and one salsa dance in the box score.
And 12 targets, and they clearly were going to get him involved today. They thought they could, because remember, you said this in the kickoff show, the Giants have 6 corners, 3 were inactive, or 3 actually were out, 1 was on injured reserve, Aaron Ross. And yet Tremaine McBride, a guy that we said they have to go after, and they did that. They did a real good job of identifying that as a great matchup. This league, Bo, is all about matchups. And when you see Tremaine McBride, who should have been their 5th corner, you go after him. And the Eagles do that today.
Deshaun Jackson and Nick Foles coming to the podium in a little bit. Adam, on the other side, the defense did step up today. They forced 4 turnovers, 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter. And Chip Kelly likes to talk about points off turnovers. The Eagles 17-0 in that category today.
Yeah, now the Jacobs fumble was an unforced error. He just let it fall out of his hands. That was not
butt awareness. But goes to Michael Kendrick.
Sure,
for
you got to get
the
fumble. Yeah. Exactly. In fact, they almost had another one. So the fact of the matter is, you got to give the defense credit. And this is what Billy Davis has been talking about. It's been bothering him. Clearly, in his press conference, that's the thing he's been talking about. They've got to get turnovers, and they got them today. And you wonder now, as they travel to play the Bucs, they've got a rookie quarterback who will be making his second start. Mike Glennon is coming off the bye, but he did not play well in his first start. The Eagles get to face a rookie quarterback who doesn't move very well. We saw him at the Senior Bowl, you and I. He's got a strong arm, but he's not a guy that moves very well. And you've got really an offense that has been struggling this season for the Bucs, so we'll see what the Eagles can do.
In the kickoff show, Adam, we talked about the matchup between Brandon Boykin and Victor Cruz. Now, the Giants receivers did have some big games. Reuben Randall, 90-plus yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. Hakeem Nicks, about 120 yards receiving. But Brandon Boykin on Victor Cruz, Cruz only had 5 catches for 48 yards. He has dominated the Eagles in the past. And, of course, Brandon Boykin also had really one of the game-turning plays, game-deciding plays, that diving interception on Victor Cruz, ripping it away, one of the more beautiful interceptions you'll ever see.
Wow. In fact, I would say number 22, Brandon Boykin, is one of the Eagles' best defensive players, only in his second season. He's just he's a big-time player. He's a guy who's just going to get better. Every once in a while, he'll give up some plays, but fact of the matter is this guy's so talented. He does so much for them. He's versatile, and you can play him inside or outside. I know that they really want to play him inside, and he handles that responsibility very, very well. What they have to do is just take this confidence that they got. 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter, which is amazing. That's a feat which you just don't see from teams. And they've got to take that confidence, take it on the road again at Tampa Bay, their third straight game on the road. And I'll tell you what, once you get Eli Manning pressure on him, when he turns his body bow, he makes mistakes. Something we talked about in the kickoff show, make him turn his body. When he turns in the face of pressure, he usually turns it over, and he did today.
Well, Adam, let's talk about big picture heading into a big game next week in Tampa Bay. This is a Bucs defense last year that was the best in the league in run defense and the very worst in the league in pass defense. Of course, Nick Foles went down there and threw and had a big game in his rookie season, the only win he's had. But the Bucs did remake that secondary in the offseason, getting in Darrelle Revis, getting in
Deshaun Goldson.
Deshaun Goldson, yep. That's what I'm thinking of, and also drafting Jonathan Banks. So that defense is actually pretty good. But on the other side, they have turned to rookie Mike Glennon on offense, and they have not been able to get Doug Martin going this season.
True.
Seems like maybe the Eagles defense could have another opportunity for a big week.
Yeah, and Doug Martin has not got untracked yet. They get nothing out of the tight end position. They've tried Dallas Clark last year. He's long gone. They get nothing out of it. And their offensive line has been inconsistent. And they're supposed to be a power running team, but they're just not getting it done. Their defense, they don't get sacks. They're disciplined, as you said, on the back end. There's no question about it. Their secondary was the NFL's worst last season. And what they do on offense, on defense, their front four, they slant the D-line, and it forces you to run the ball outside, and that's kind of how it worked with them last season. So this is going to be a challenge for LeSean McCoy. There's no question about it in the Eagles' running game. But the thing that you like is the Bucs don't get pressured. Daniel Teo-Nashaim is now a starting DN for them, of all people, and he's not a great pass rusher. So I think the Eagles will have some time, no matter who their quarterback is next week, to make some plays over the middle, though, not probably downfield because Darrelle Revis is there.
Yeah, the Bucs are the second worst passing team in the league through 4 games. They have a bye week this week. Do you think that this Eagles defense has turned a corner? Are you seeing signs of improvement, or was it for you more the case of the Giants shooting themselves in the foot?
Well, I think they take some confidence out of this game. Obviously, when you have 3 picks in the fourth quarter, and you saw the pressure, the front seven got pressure on Eli Manning, and you saw the mistakes, and we were talking about getting on the right side of that Giant offensive line, which has been revamped with Justin Pugh, who really should have been called for a bad hold. No question about that. Vinnie Curry, we should also mention, gave him some good snaps. Definitely gave him some snaps. Number 75 did a really good job. Isaac Sopoaga, this is probably his best game. Number 97 playing the nose. I just thought, and Michael Kendricks obviously with the turnover there, I thought their defense, Bo, you started to see some contributions from guys we haven't really talked a lot about. So that was a good thing today.
Cowboys now leading the Broncos 14-0,
really?
I'll let you know.
Wow.
But, of course, the Cowboys do come to Lincoln Financial Field the week following next week. So in 2 weeks, we'll see the Cowboys up close and personal. We're waiting to hear from Nick Foles and DeSean Jackson. We already talked about DeSean. As for Nick Foles, you know, we've talked about him as well. But as he runs this offense, how do you think it changes if he has a full week of preparation to be the starter?
It's a great question. Now, we don't know this because they were running some of the read option the second half. Was he just, you know, he didn't see the right number, so he threw the football? The fact of the matter is the pass run, it was heavier to the pass. So it's a real...
I'm sorry,
real
we got Nick Foles.
Got it.
Trying to work it out and just went in there and one play, like I've told you before, one play at a time. So I just one play and then another play coming, and I really didn't know the situation until I went in at halftime and they said, all right, this is what we're going to do. So
where did you start to get a little more comfortable? I'm not saying that you weren't when you went in, but it started to get a little bit. Where did that start?
I felt really comfortable throughout the whole game. There wasn't like a span where I was like, all right, I'm ready to go. I felt good when I went in, just, you know, we needed to get things going. And the win was a team win. I thought everybody did a great job. Defense created a lot of turnovers. Thought did a good job protecting the ball and getting the ball in the end zone after the turnovers. And, you know, special teams was good. So I felt comfortable.
The selling touchdown really had to make you a little more comfortable. I mean, the way that play, explain that play a little bit.
It was just sort of like a naked out of there and trying to get the defense to flow one way and try to slip Brent underneath the other way. And they had a man right on him, but credit to Brent to go up and get that ball and be an athlete. And he's a great tight end. He did a great job.
You're not going to take any credit for the throw, huh?
Hey, I'm going to put it in his error. He made the play. And, you know, the guys up front, if y'all see on film, there's no one near me. So when you get that time, it really, you know, really helps a lot. So
these past few weeks, how many reps have you been getting in practice? And how have you been able to stay comfortable?
Just in practice, you know, I might get a few, whatever it is, you know, if it's going with the team reps, or if it's doing scout, or if it's doing reps on the other field to get the throws. It's not a number. It's just you always try to get the mental reps when you're not in. I think that's the key, is whenever Mike's in there, I'm right behind him, and I'm looking to see what he's seeing, and then I try to train my mind. And then when I can, I get my extra throws to feel those throws. So can't give you a number on that.
I know you keep saying it's one play at a time. But how do you keep your mind from going ahead and saying, you know, I got a little bit of a roll going here. It felt good today. I sure would like to continue this.
I think just playing this game a long time, you're humbled when you play it. And we're fortunate to do what we do. So it's very humbling. You know, first thing I did was say a prayer and just say thank you, God, for letting me be out there, giving me the strength to go out there. So my faith has carried me through, and that's, you know, that's what's kept me strong.
Jacob says he doesn't really change anything. Anything in the playbook, does that make it easier for him when you have to jump in like this?
Yeah, sure. I think that if we're running the offense that we're used to running, it makes it a lot easier. It makes it easier on the guys that we don't have to switch anything, that we can run it. So they felt comfortable, and I felt like the guys did a great job.
So when it went from 19-7, you guys, to 21-7, to 21-19, then what's going on in your mind at that point?
You know, those are the games you know, when situations like that, you really just got to calm yourself and just, like I said, one play at a time. You know that if you keep building on those one plays, you're going to bust one. You're going to get some momentum. The team's going to feed off it. Like the defense created turnovers. We got the ball in the end zone. The team feeds off that. So you really keep going. You know that one, you got to take the lead back and you got to keep, you know, going. It's as simple as that.
What's the key for you, Nick, to get in a position where you finally have the reins of a team full time?
I'm not even thinking that way. First thing that happened when Mike got hurt is I prayed for him. You know, give him strength, God. And, you know, my job was to go in there, you know, Mike was hurt, and get a win. And I had a great team around me to really help me do that. So, I mean, I'm excited to go on the bus and, you know, be with the team. And I don't think that way, so I can't really answer it.
What's your approach going into this week, then?
Like I always do, get better each and every day. Study the film because there's some things I missed that I got to get better at. And just try to get better. You know, we get an opportunity to go back out there again, get in the weight room, get the soreness out, because I actually got hit a little bit a few times, so I'll be probably a little sore. And, you know, we're going to enjoy it today, but move forward and just get better each and every day. And it calculates up.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank y'all.
All right, good stuff there from Nick Foles as the Eagles take out the Giants at MetLife Stadium. They're home away from home. All right, well, we've got Shady McCoy at the podium, actually.
Yeah, it definitely, a win like this definitely builds confidence. Thinking all of us battling together as a team, the defense playing well, special teams and offense answering when we needed to. So I think it definitely builds confidence, especially a division win. It says a lot going through all the tough weeks we've been going through, and again, a win like this, so definitely builds confidence.
When Vic got hurt and Nick came in, did you get the sense that the Giants were trying to battle you up?
I think as a defense, you would probably think, well, it's a difference from Michael Vick to Nick Foles as far as running. So yeah, they made some plays in the run game for sure. You know, but they get paid also. We got the win, so that's what matters. I think when a defense tries to stop this offense and they want to take me out or the run game out, I mean, that's fine. You leave one-on-ones for different matchups. And as you've seen today, it was obvious. We beat them up downfield. So that's how it's going to work.
Third and two run where Patterson kind of came through and got you. I mean, did you know that was Patterson and, you know, a former teammate, all that?
Yes. I messed with him a little bit. He tackled me. I could still, you know, mess with him a little bit. But he's a Giants now. And that's all that matters.
I was going to ask you if there's a different feel in the huddle between Vic and Foles, but since y'all don't huddle, I guess it doesn't really matter, does it?
Nah. Well, as an offense, we look at Nick Foles and Michael Vick as two starters. I mean, they had a competition early in the year to be the starter. I felt like they both played very well. You know, so we always think that they're both starters. And when they came in, when Nick came in, we were still confident. It's the same as when Mike was in.
It seems each week Chip's talking about how this team's settling for three instead of getting seven too often. What's been the issue? What was the issue today?
I can't really answer that. I think when we get down there, we're moving the ball and we're getting three. We just got to focus in better. Play today, I mean, I blew it myself. Turning inside instead of following the pass and going out. This is a matter of just focusing and completing the play, you know, and capitalizing. It's something you got to keep working on.
Mike is a guy who helps open up the running game.
Oh, of course. I think in a run game you want to take me out for sure, and then Mike Vick, you want to stop him too. So I think it's always something different when Mike's in the game. You see the spies they have on him. Or the defensive end, he's slower to rush when he's in there. I mean, it's Michael Vick, so he could take off any given time. So it's definitely, a matchup difference, you know, when you're preparing for Mike Vick. I think in his whole career, it's been like that. Let's try to stop Mike first running and then passing. So, I mean, that's something he's been dealing with since he got in the NFL.
Is there anything people will look at Nick too and say, well, this is what we got to take away from him?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they would say or what they'd think. You know, I'm not them. I think it's obvious a difference between Michael Vick and Nick Foles for sure, as far as his athletic standpoint. But Nick can run his offense also. You know, we're not asking Mike Vick to take 77 yarders to the house. You know, just enough to keep the defense ends honest. And same with Nick. I think he can do that.
Now, going into this week, it's uncertain if it's going to be Mike or Nick. How do you approach that, and how does this offense approach that?
Doesn't really change, I don't think. Two starter quarterbacks on the same team. We're going to focus and look to win this game. We're going to run the same plays if Mike's in or if Nick's in. Run the same plays. So it doesn't really make a difference.
Is it good to have that luxury of two guys that are capable of starting playing and
whatnot? Yeah, oh, for sure. That's why when it happened with the controversy of who was the starting quarterback, the competition, it didn't matter to the players in the locker room because, you know, we got two guys that can start. And in this NFL, in this league, you need two guys and three guys. That just need depth in general, which in every position we really have. It's not my call. I mean, I just run the ball and pick up protections. It's not my call. And I don't do with this.
Thank you. All right, good stuff from LeSean McCoy. On the other side, we say goodbye to Adam. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for all your service, my friend.
All right.
We will bring in AJ Feely to talk here. 215-320-5170 is the number to call. We'll see you on the other side. This is the post-game show presented by Rico.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Complete over the middle. Tripped up at the 40. Nice pass and a big first down for
That dude is huge.
That's you, Joe.
For a little fun, you could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
And welcome back to the postgame show presented by Rico. Bo Wolf and AJ Feely now replacing Adam Kaplan. Again, we're taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170, after the Eagles' 36-21 victory over the New York Giants. Now, AJ, I want to talk with you about Nick Foles and what it's like as a quarterback who's a number two or a number three coming in the game cold. And what I thought was so impressive was that very first drive at the end of the second quarter, the Eagles are backed up. Chip Kelly has the faith in Nick to lead the team down for a field goal. What is it like when you're coming in cold like that?
Well, that's tough. That's one of the toughest situations to be put in, too, it's frankly, because, you know, it's end of half. You're put in, it's a two-minute drill. You don't want to mess up. You don't want to give them the ball, but you want to score points because you want to feel confident going into the second half, not knowing if you're going to play or not. So it's really, really tough. And as a backup quarterback, you don't get many reps during practice in the prior week, and you haven't gotten to the game, so you don't know how things are flowing at that point.
What is a game like as you know that you're one or two players away from going into the game, but I guess you probably don't want to be too invested. You want to be able to hang back a little bit. What is the mindset like throughout a game like that?
Through the game, you're into it just like the starting quarterback, but you're seeing it from a different perspective. So you can offer certain things to a starting quarterback, but once you get into the game, everything changes. You're now in the flow of things. You now have the ball in your hands, and everything you do has implications.
What about just your arm? I mean, you're not throwing to keep your arm loose. What is that like?
It's tough, too. It depends on the weather. I mean, if they're playing in a situation right. That was really, really cold, it's tough. You're thrown in there and you're ready to go. Tonight, you know, I think that Nick got a chance to throw on the sidelines a little bit and was prepared.
And then he goes into the half. I'm sure that they're talking with him at halftime about the game plan they're going to put together in the second half. That must be, I guess, having that break, it's got to help a little bit to calm your nerves, I guess.
It does. I mean, the game plan's set in stone going into that week. What they'll change a little bit is some of the play calls and what they're going to do. I don't think anything changed for him in the sense of, we're not going to run this because he's in the game. I think they looked at it, well, we're doing things efficiently in the passing game, and we're not doing so well on the run, and so we're going to win to call those plays.
Did you notice a difference in the way that they were calling plays? Obviously, Michael Vick ran for 79 yards in the first half. Nick had that one keeper in the red zone. You were an athletic quarterback, maybe not quite as athletic as Michael Vick. What did you make of the offense in the second half?
I thought it was productive. Regardless who's behind there, they're going to run their offense. Obviously, there's a big play capability with Michael Vick being in there. But like LeSean said, you want a quarterback that can keep the defensive end honest. And with the read option, you're allowed to do that with Michael Vick or Nick Foles.
And finally, in terms of Nick's confidence in himself, it's obvious that Chip Kelly has confidence in him throwing the ball the way that he called the game for Nick under center. Do you take any pride in that, knowing that your coach has your back like that?
Yeah, I mean, as a quarterback, you have confidence. You're not lacking in that department. Nick's played, and he's played well in the NFL. you know, in his rookie year. So coming into this game, I think he felt like if he was given an opportunity, he could make plays. And he went out there and did that. So my hat's off to him.
All right, we go to the phone lines now. Ty from New Jersey. Ty, what do you got for us?
How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Let's get to it. What do you got?
First of all, I want to say I think we need to put Boykin on the slot receiver.
That one-handed interception
was amazing.
That was beautiful. That is Brandon's job, covering that slot receiver.
Yeah, they did a good job. What I want to say is, one clear difference between Vic and Foles is, other than the fast running part, Foles, like, always pass it to the running backs if he doesn't find the receiver, like, fast. He doesn't take that long. But Vic holds it a bit too long to find that deep, you know, receiver wide open. That's one thing they need to work with Vic, or Vic needs to fix. Because Foles was amazing today. He was hitting the receiver. He had, 64% completion rate? He did a good job.
Yeah, he did do a great job. Nick was 16 of 25, so 64%. You're exactly right. And thanks for the call, Ty. Now, AJ, there are obviously differences between Nick and Mike. Obviously, Michael is the athletic one. He's got the deeper arm. Nick does seem to throw to the open receiver in anticipation maybe a little bit more than Mike does.
Well, I would say that Michael Vick has an added weapon, and that's his legs.
Sure.
So when things break down, instead of looking maybe for number four, number five, or taking the easy throw, Mike thinks of, all right, maybe I can pick that up with my legs. Whereas with Nick, not that he can't run when he's under pressure, but he's always looking for number four, number five, and going through those progressions.
So heading into this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what is it like when there is an unknown of whether Mike is going to be healthy enough to play? There's two quarterbacks who are now involved in the game plan. What is that like as a team, the mindset of not knowing exactly who's going to be under center?
I don't think it affects the team, so to speak. As a quarterback and as a guy who's going in to be the starter and who's possibly going to be a backup, you prepare the same way. And I think you're there to help each other out. Then, you know, usually by Friday you have a pretty good idea who's going to play and who's not. But if you're not called, then you're still ready to go, because what happened tonight can happen again.
And when Nick says that he prepares as if he is a starter, what exactly does that mean?
I know that sounds cliche because you hear everybody say that, but the same stuff that Michael Vick does during the week, preparation, watching film, studying the game plan, is the same for the number one and number two, and actually for the number three. The only thing that's different is the guy who gets all the reps,
right.
And that's number one guy. So as a backup, every play during practice, you're going through it mentally, and as he said before, because you want to have an idea that what he's truly seeing is what you're going to see in the game. So it's important. I always love being a backup because I got a chance to play with the scout team and I could work on certain throws that maybe I couldn't with the ones.
Right.
And also I got to see the whole field from a different perspective as a starter.
Of course, you love being a starter even more.
Yeah, starter's great. That's where you make the money. Yeah, that's where you make the money.
All right, back to the phone lines. Byron from Kansas City. How you doing, Byron? What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, Bo? Hey, how you doing, AJ?
What's going on?
I'll take the win. You said I was a little tough on the guys last week because you were saying that I was a little tough on them because I didn't think they were playing with a lot of heart and a lot of ego pride, but they kind of had a good bounce back. It would have been brutal if we'd have lost to a team that obviously is struggling really, really bad. I like Nick poise as well, and I also like the way the defense somewhat showed up. We had some blowing opportunities as well, but I think we can get that cleaned up against the Bucs. And I'll take the win, man. I'm very happy today.
All right. We take the win as well. Thanks, Byron. And I think you did see some heart from this Eagles team. The way the defense bounced back after giving up consecutive touchdown drives in the beginning of the second half, forcing those three interceptions against Eli Manning. Obviously, they knew that it's overstating it to say that the season was on the line here. But if you fall to 1-4, the tone of the season takes a much different tone. Now they are in the mix of the top of the NFC East. We're following the Cowboys-Broncos game right now to see if they're going to be tied for first. But it was nice to see this team bouncing back and showing that, listen, after week one, they can still win games.
Yeah, it was definitely a huge win for them because I think they needed it to get over the hump, and I think they needed it for the locker room, for the guys to truly buy into what's going on and how things are, have changed over the last year. So going into next week, I think, it's going to be a real testament to win against Tampa.
All right, 17-7 is the score right now down in Dallas, the Cowboys with the lead, but a lot of time for Peyton Manning to come back with that vaunted offense. Let's go back to MetLife Stadium now. DeSean Jackson, after the Eagles win another game up against the Giants, this is sort of becoming the Eagles' home away from home. They've won four of the last five games on the road in New Jersey. What does DeSean Jackson say? He's the guy who always makes plays at MetLife Stadium.
You know, when Vic's in there, Foles does a great job of always, you know, staying tuned and, you know, look at what looks we're getting. And, you know, once the time is right for him to get in, I think, you know, they give him both a great chance to, you know, during the week to get practice, to get reps, to be in tune to where we're running and things like that. So, you know, Foles just came in and did a good job. You know, last year he had some opportunities to come in and do the same thing when Vic went down. So, you know, he's been in this position before. He knows what to do. He knows what to expect. And, you know, at the same time, you know, I think, you know, he's able to go out there and just really make a decision and, you know, just get the ball out fast. So he did a great job of coming in and just giving us a chance to win.
Sean, you had zero passing yards in the first quarter. Was there a lot of conversation after that quarter?
I mean, you know, not necessarily. You know, we had a great plan to going out there, you know, just being productive any way possible. We felt we was getting the same coverage, man coverage, single high safety. So we just wanted to stress that, the fact that we're not going to let teams just play us like that and just take chances and take shots down the field. And, you know, today we was able to do that. As you see, we got some big plays down the field and things like that. So, you know, it's always a great thing when you could, you know, make teams pay for the way they're playing us.
What did you think when you saw Mike grab his leg? What were you thinking,
man? Honestly, man, you know, it's never a good situation when you see that dude grab his leg. You know, we always kind of pick on him. He's getting a little older now. He's in his 30s, so... we just try to get him the best way he could do, go out there and just make plays and, you know, using his legs and things like that. But, you know, I tell him, man, you're getting a little old, man. You got to slow down. You be running too fast, though. But hopefully he'll be all right, man.
When you got into the end zone, was that planned or did it just come out?
Yeah, man. You know, I had one of my friends tell me they wanted me to do that, who didn't really like the dance that he always does. So, you know, me and him are great friends. You know, nothing towards him, but just had to pay homage to one of my friends that wanted to do that.
Sean, how about
coming in here getting a win? I mean, you guys really needed it
to get one. Definitely. To have three, you know, consecutive losses back-to-back, you know, this game was big for us. And not only that, it's a division rival. It's an NFC East game. So, you know, that's the biggest thing we can do is just set ourselves up to, you know, hopefully win this division. And, you know, next week we go to Tampa Bay. That'll be a big game for us as well. And then have Dallas Cowboys come to our house. So, you know, as long as we can take advantage week by week and just go out there and do what we need to do to win games, I think that's all that matters.
It's clear how much double move for the touchdown on number 20. It looked like you really that wet worked very, very well.
Yeah, it was actually a good play call. You know, we knew all throughout the week in the red zone they played, you know, press coverage and played up on the receiver. So, you know, that's a double move we have in our arsenal. Great call, at, you know, right time and things like that. So I just credit, you know, Chip for calling that play. And, you know, Nick Foles made a great throw, give me a chance to, you know, make my move and just still be able to make a play on the ball.
DeSean, it's clear how much more effective the offense is when you're involved. Is there a lot of talk during the week about making sure that you're targeted?
Yeah, the biggest thing is really just giving the opportunities. You know, we might not always be able to go out there and, you know, have big games and big numbers and things like that for myself, but as long as we're able to still get them opportunities and get them looks, I think that's what matters the most. And, you know, I feel they're doing a good job of keeping me involved and, you know, calling plays for me to go out there and, you know, make the defense suffer for them playing, you know, press coverage and, you know, sometimes safeties all the way in the middle of the field. So today was one of them days where we was able to go out there and make them pay for that.
Sean, you're one of a handful teams in all of history to have 400-plus yards of offense these first 5 weeks. I mean, if you guys can find a way in the red zone, how explosive is this offense going to be?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing we always stress, you know, in the week, red zone, just not really being able to leave, you know, 7 or 6 points out there and just really being able to score touchdowns. A lot of times I feel, you know, we do so much in the open field of getting down there, and then once it's down there, you know, the field shortens up and things like that, and some of the play calls are really just, you know, for us to really get down there. And then once we get down there, it's really on us to, you know, make things happen. So as long as we're able to, you know, just score touchdowns and not, you know, field goals all the time, I think we should be all right. But sometimes, you know, the defense gets the best out of us as well, too. So as long as we're able to just, you know, just keep playing and just keep fighting throughout the whole game, eventually they'll start popping.
Thanks, DeSean.
DeSean Jackson, the mayor of MetLife Stadium. That's what I'm going to call him from now on, and the salsa man himself. All right, we go back to the phone lines. D from Atlanta. How are you, D?
I'm doing fine. Happy that we won the game. I got a little nervous there when Vic was on the sideline, and Nick Foles, he did a great job. I just feel like on defense, how come we don't put in Brandon Graham or how about the Curry, because they get sacks instantly just about.
Well, I can't exactly understand what you're saying, D, but thanks for the phone call. I think you were asking about Brandon Graham and his playing time. We did see Trent Cole get a little bit of pressure. He still doesn't have a sack this season, but he was in on the first interception by Eli Manning, the one that fell into Michael Kendrick's hands, which, coincidentally, we will talk about after the break right here on the postgame show presented by Rico.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more! Let's go, yo! Woo! One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
And welcome back to the postgame show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf, and A.J. Feely here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Now, A.J., we want to take a look at when this game turned. The Eagles were up 22-21 in the fourth quarter, and Eli Manning throws a crucial interception. Now, let's take a look at the All-22 here, which we have already. And in the, over the past few weeks, the Eagles have been beaten by veteran quarterbacks before the snap. Guys adjusting and reading what the defense was going to do, they were able to disguise it a little bit here.
Yeah, here Eli doesn't pick up the nickel blitz because I think he's looking to his right thinking, you know, and that's the issue with a 3-4 is you don't know where guys are going to come and you can't account for everybody. And here he gets confused and Brandon Boykin gets pressure on Eli and creates a big play. It was a turning point in the game.
So Boykin comes from the left side of your screen there as the play runs. And Eli, as you said, he's looking to his right. He doesn't fully account for this pressure. And he doesn't quite,
see it. The safety does a good job of holding his alignment there, so he doesn't think that he's being taught by the nickel player. Essentially, if the safety is covering the slot, then the nickel can be a factor. And there they hold it well enough to where he can disguise it enough, and Eli doesn't account for him.
And Trent Cole also gets a little bit of pressure around on the edge. It's possible that you could have called a little contact to the helmet there of Eli Manning, but Trent Cole has gotten called for a ticky-tack contact with a Manning's helmet in the past, so I'm glad he gets away with this one. And hey, credit to Michael Kendricks for keeping his head on a swivel, being aware. Both turnovers today, he recovered a fumble and picked this play off just by being aware.
Yeah, he reacts well to the ball, and that's what he does. He's athletic. You know, and you expect big plays from him, and that was one of them. I mean, that was a key play during that game.
And on the very next play, the Eagles take advantage. Nick Foles is going to be able to find Brent Celek on a touchdown here. Let's take a look at what this one looks like pre-snap.
As a quarterback, you love when this play is called because it's a misdirection. What you're running is a bootleg off to a weak side zone and stretching the field to the right. And normally, in times, you'll have the tight end who Brent Celek, you'll have him sneak out the back gate. And at times, you'll have him drop to the ground to actually give himself away. Here, he just does a good job of selling it. And you can see the opposite side receivers run full flow towards the bootleg side. And Celek slips out to the back. And Nick Foles makes a great throw here. And Celek makes an even better catch.
Yeah, watch the defense react here. They're all going right. And Celek has a step on his man. And this is as beautiful a catch as you're going to see.
Yeah, it's a great play. Everybody runs it in the NFL. And as a tight end, you're licking your chops when you hear it because it's a misdirection play that 9 times out of 10 it works.
And a beautiful catch and a beautiful throw. Brent Celek, I believe, let's see here, 3 catches for 47 yards on the day. Zach Ertz also had a big day. So the tight end's a factor in the offense for the Eagles. And Nick Foles, that's killer instinct there. Points off turnovers, the first play, throwing a dime.
Yeah, and that's what, a lot of teams are doing now. When you get a turnover, you take a shot. And they were able to capitalize it. And I'll tell you this, it was nice to see Brent Celek have a big game today because after last week's performance, I know there was a lot of talk about it, and I was happy for him.
We continue to keep an eye on the Broncos-Cowboys game. It's now 17-14, so Peyton Manning leads the Broncos back down the field. It'd be nice to hold on to a share of first place 5 games through the season.
It would. I mean, short-lived as it is, could possibly be. It's nice.
All right, so we're taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170 here on the post-game show presented by Rico. Have a chance to talk with A.J. Feely. And A.J., again, the story of this game for the Eagles, aside from the defense forcing the turnovers, Nick Foles coming into the game, being able to lead the team down. When you are a backup quarterback, what is the nature of your leadership coming into the game, being in the huddle, being thrown in there with guys who haven't seen you for the first 4 games of the season?
Well, there's not really a huddle with this offense.
But that's true.
Essentially, it's just being yourself. I think the guys know who Nick Foles is. They know who Michael Vick is. So when a guy steps in and plays, they know what to expect. They've had a whole offseason to play with him, and they've had, with Nick Foles, they had a whole last year at the end of the year to play with him. So I don't think it was surprising to them.
All right, defensive coordinator Billy Davis has been a little bit under fire over the last couple of weeks, giving up a lot of points. The defense stepped up in a big way today, forcing 4 turnovers, and Bill Davis talked to reporters in the locker room.
Oh, it was a great outing by the defensive guys. They came up and made the plays when we needed them. It was a good team win. We took a step forward today. It was a good, solid step forward, and we're excited about it.
How resilient were they with the way the Giants were able to come back? But, you guys were able to put your foot down and come out of the way there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the players showed a lot of character today. They scored 2 touchdowns on the second half on us, and it started slipping a little bit, and then the guys, got a better grip on it and made the plays to give the offense the ball back, and that's what we've talked about all along, is let's get the ball back in our offense's hands and good things happen.
Bill, how is your approach to this Manning rather than the one last week?
Well, they really are a different animal. The offenses are so different, and the first part of that is being that one's an offensive coordinator on the field, and the other one, plays are being called in, and he can check at the line. So they're both outstanding quarterbacks, and they probably threw 10, 11 balls deep on us tonight. And the corners did a great job staying deep.
But you can bring pressure to this one, right? More than you could.
Yeah, at times. And the guy, we had a good pass rush tonight and put some pressure on Eli, and that helps.
Well, what did you see, Billy?
Michael Kendricks had a good, solid game. He really did. He had the fumble recovery and then the interception on the tip ball. So I think all of them as a group, like I said, we took a nice, solid step forward today that we have to build on. We got a lot of work left, but it was a good step.
Did you challenge him at all this week? I mean, especially after last week. Do you have to do that?
Well, after a loss like we had against Denver, it was more about, gaining confidence in the techniques that we're using and the defenses that we're playing. It wasn't about ripping and yelling and screaming. Everybody's got so much pride that when you get a beat down like we got in Denver, the only way to get back is to get back to fundamentals and the smaller things. And that's what we did this week, and it worked.
Specifically from the secondary, the aggressiveness tonight, the physical nature that they played with. What did you see from those guys, those 4 guys in the back?
Again, I thought that John Lovett and Todd Light did a great job preparing the secondary for, and they did. We've been working on that and playing parts of it. It's like I said a long time ago, parts of it show up And then we just need to have it show up more and more, the techniques, the fundamentals, and that's what you saw tonight. You just saw more of it. You saw more consistent play. And hopefully, again, we build on this and get even more consistent than we did tonight.
What did you see from Brandon Boykin on Victor Cruz and specifically on that one interception?
Oh, it was a great play. There's a lot of different times that we were giving help to Victor Cruz because he's such a high target for them. But on that play, Brandon had him on his own, and it was a phenomenal interception. I didn't know who came up. First, I thought Victor had it. Went in, Boykin took it away. That was a great play.
Billy, was the reason why, you kept blitzing Boykin? Some of the games you weren't getting home, but, was the reason because you feel like he's the type of guy who athletically can get to the quarterback?
The whole scheme is a diverse scheme where I can blitz anybody and everybody, from different places. And part of when sometimes the protection may pick it up, but you put yourself in their shoes, they've got to be able to account for all those different players, including the nickel, and as Boykin, and matter of fact, Michael's interception came off Brandon Blitzen. And was unblocked because the offensive line didn't account for him. So a lot of it is just a broad schematic reason for bringing Brandon.
Well, the news keeps getting better for the Eagles. The Broncos now take a 21-17 lead over the Cowboys. So if that result holds up, this is a back-and-forth game. But if it holds up, the Eagles will indeed be tied for the top of the NFC East. And A.J., let's take a look around the NFC now where the Eagles do have a chance, as we said, to be at the top of the division. Around the conference, though, it would seem as if a wild card is out of reach. Probably you're looking at a division title or bust for the playoffs. It's early, but that's what it seems like.
Yeah, I would say that's probably an accurate assumption there, that the winner of this conference definitely will go, but I don't think they'll be a wild card.
How about the Atlanta Falcons, 1-3, all the way down there? They play on Monday night against the New York Jets. The NFC North, a jumbled mess there, and the Seahawks get their first loss today on the road in Indianapolis. All right, we go to the phone lines now. Ron from Virginia. Ron, what jumps out to you, my friend?
What's going on, Ron?
We're doing all right.
Hey, great show. This was a great character win for the Philadelphia Eagles as a team today. Foles came in, did a stellar job in his backup role, and to Chip Kelly and Michael Vick. Do not play Michael Vick next week unless he is 100% healthy. A hamstring that's aggravated can put him out for several weeks. And to the fans of Philadelphia, even if Foles plays next week and does well and win the game, please do not start a quarterback controversy. A healthy Michael Vick, a blocking line, and Chip Kelly calls the plays. Michael Vick is the best chance for the Eagles. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Ron, and I think I agree. I think the offense just has a little bit more dynamism when Michael Vick is under center for the Eagles. Nick Foles showed today that he can win with this offense and he can move this offense. The Eagles are way ahead of pace in terms of yardage. They're the only team in NFL history with 1,200 passing yards and over 875 rushing yards through the first five games of the season. But still, when Michael Vick is in there, there are just more options and more things for the defense
to
defend.
Yeah, I think he makes a great point. I don't think Michael Vick has been the issue for the Eagles' losses this year. I think with a healthy Michael Vick, I think it gives the team a greater chance of winning. Not to take anything away from Nick Foles, but Michael Vick, healthy, and when he's playing at full strength, he's a serious weapon.
Third downs have been a bugaboo for the Eagles' offense over the past couple of years. On the season so far, they are converting 45.1% of their third downs. That it would be the best mark in Eagles history. The previous mark is 44.4 by the 1981 Eagles. So very nice to see that from this Eagles offense. All right, we got more on the other side here on the post-game show presented by Rico. Your phone call is still 215-320-5170 right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it. And we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
A great day for Eagles fans as the team shovels dirt on the season of the New York Giants. They're now 0-5, and the Eagles 2-3 after their victory at MetLife Stadium. The Eagles now 6-1 over their last seven games on the road against the Giants. And thanks for watching, and for that, we offer this special promotion. Order anything online, the Philadelphia Eagles online store, store.philadelphiaeagles.com, and you get this very handsome good luck charm, the breast cancer awareness lapel pin, which I have been wearing all day long, and personally, I think that is the reason that the Eagles have won this game. All credit to the defense and Nick Foles and DeSean Jackson, but come on, you guys know where your bread is really buttered. So let's go back to the phone lines, AJ. We've got Tony from Atlanta on the line. Tony, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How y'all doing today?
Doing well, Tony. We're doing well. What jumps out at you?
Hey, what jumped out at me today was the defense of the draft class from last year, with Boykin, Kendricks, and also Cox. But my biggest thing, what I've been watching, every time I see Vinny Curry on the field, he is like a monster. And I wonder why he's not getting more minutes.
Tony, I think that is a great point, and thank you for bringing that up. Look at the contributions of the draft class from last season. Fletcher Cox was in on several plays. He's obviously become one of the best players on this defense. Michael Kendricks gets the two turnovers. He's all over the place. Brandon Boykin all over the place as well. And Vinny Curry, listen, he did play a lot today, and he was getting pressure, especially in that fourth quarter when the Giants were down 15 points and they needed to throw the ball. Vinny was in there. I think he still got a little bit to learn in terms of reading and reacting. I think he got up the field on a screen when he wasn't supposed to. But you can see that he's got the tools to be a threat against the quarterback.
Yeah, I think right now they have been situational downs, and that's where they're playing him. I don't know if he's an every down player just yet. I think they're going to put him in definitely in passing situations and let him attack the quarterback. But for right now, he's doing a great job.
And a great point. The contributions of that draft class are a big point, not only for this team and for this game, but for the future of this Eagles team. They need those draft picks to continue making an impact for the Eagles. All right, we've got room for one more phone call right here, 215-320-5170. But before we get to that, we've got Brandon Boykin, the man himself. He is live, or not live. We talked to him at MetLife Stadium, but we're going to have to wait a second for that. I guess he's not quite ready. How about this year's draft class, since we're talking about that? Lane Johnson obviously making an impact. He does a good job. Zach Ertz, a beautiful catch earlier in the game. These young guys, this young Eagles team, they need to grow as a young group together.
Yeah, I think it's important for the players' development that they improve each and every week. I think that's a good sign for where they're at in their development. And, you know, with the guys in situations, they make plays. I mean, you look at Hurts and that big-time catch. He's a big, long, fast guy, and I think in situations where they have one-on-ones or maybe they can displace him and have a linebacker cover him in space, I think that's where he's at his best.
And even Earl Wolf was all over the place today. He still makes a couple rookie mistakes, but him getting two consecutive starts in the Eagles defense holding up, I think, for this game was pretty good. And hopefully next week Patrick Chung will be back from the shoulder injury, but we wait to see whether it will be Nate Allen or Earl Wolf alongside Patrick Chung. All right, back to MetLife Stadium now. It is not Brandon Boykin. It is Bradley Fletcher who we have in the locker room.
This year?
Oh, this year? It was the most plays I made on the ball this game, yeah.
Were you surprised, Bradley? It looked like they were taking shots at you deep all game long. Were you expecting that going in?
We knew they took shots, and we weren't surprised by that. They were, like you were saying, they were coming early in the game and later in the game, so we had to be ready at all times.
How were you able to get those three deep pass breakups?
Just playing through the receiver, getting my hand on the ball. That's how it went.
It looked like there were some back and forth, some contact between you and the receivers. Do you feel like the refs let you guys play a little bit more today?
Yeah, we got to play ball. And we, like I was saying earlier, we made enough plays to get out of here with a victory.
I know there were some ups and downs. How do you kind of forget some of the plays that, you know, in the third quarter, I think they had a couple good drives.
Yeah.
How do you forget those and then bounce back with that fourth quarter?
Hey, as a corner, that's the kind of mindset you need. You know, you're going to make some plays, and then if the plays don't go the way you want it to, you just hop back up and get it back after it.
You guys were really taking it to them physically.
Yeah.
I mean, was that something that you knew you had to do with the Giants because of those big receivers that they have?
Yeah, our pass rush was playing hard. The linebackers did well, and we were able to do some things in the back end as well. So I think as a whole, our defense played well, offense put points on the board. So we played the game that we want to play, and we got to get back to practice, keep things going, and get ready for the next game on Sunday.
What does it mean to try to carry the momentum from this performance here, especially in the fourth quarter that you guys had?
Yeah, it'll be a big deal. You know, it feels great to win a game. Feels good to win a game when it's a division game. And like we were just saying, we're going to keep it going for next Sunday.
Three interceptions in one quarter?
I mean,
it's pretty impressive, to say the least.
Yes. You know, when you have players making plays like that, that's big time. And we're happy to have it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bradley.
Hey, thanks.
Bradley Fletcher may not have had an interception today, but he did make a few huge plays down the field to break up those long passes from Eli Manning. Let's reset now, AJ, before we close the show here. As the Eagles move forward now, 2-3, a chance to be in a tie for first place. The Cowboys still trailing against the Broncos. They move on to the third consecutive road game, going down to Tampa Bay next week. With the pace of this offense, one of the factors is going to be the heat down there in Tampa. The forecast already is calling for 85 degrees or so.
Yeah, that could be an issue. I mean, it's been a while since the Eagles have practiced in high temperatures with high humidity. And that I know going down and playing in Tampa, that can be an issue, especially with this high-tempoed offense. You know, it could affect the play.
And it could affect the Bucs' defense, to be fair, if they're staying on the field. Now, they are coming off a bye, so this is the one time this season the Eagles are playing a team coming off a bye after they played a league high five times in that situation last year. But still, I think that plays into the Eagles' hand if they're going to keep the up-tempo offense and keep that Bucs' defense on the field. It could be an advantage.
Definitely will be an advantage. I don't think they've faced a team with the speed and the quick play calling that the Eagles possess at this point.
And as for the Eagles offense moving forward this week, unsure about who the quarterback is going to be, if you are Nick Foles, get us inside the mind of his preparation this week.
I think you approach it like you did last week. Obviously, you're probably going to get more reps in practice because you don't know how Michael's going to turn out. But you build on the confidence you gained today. You let everybody in the locker room know that you're ready to go and that, you know, given the chance, that you plan on winning another game.
All right, and so wrapping up, the Eagles win 36-21. Nick Foles leads the team to victory. The Eagles defense gets three interceptions in the fourth quarter. LeSean McCoy, as you see there, 26 touches for 93 yards and a touchdown. DeSean Jackson, 7 catches, 132 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 salsa dance, which we will all be watching over and over and over again tonight. And so the Eagles have a chance to wrap up the day in a tie for first place. Make sure you tune in tomorrow on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles live at noon. We will have Chip Kelly's day after press conference, which will, of course, include an update on the status of Michael Vick as the Eagles prepare for a big game down in Tampa Bay next Sunday, which, of course, you can watch the kickoff show, halftime report, and postgame show presented by Rico right here again on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thanks for joining in. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks for Adam Kaplan for joining us early, and thanks to AJ Feely for joining us here, breaking down the action as the Eagles once again win at MetLife Stadium. That was the postgame show presented by Rico.